Yes, hello, come on in, welcome back. It is time once again for Less Than Jays. Took a week off last week because Jake, you were feeling sick. Jake, you are back. Your stage play is going well, and we are coming off. We're in the middle at 7:30 on Tuesday, coming off two of the worst losses of the season back to back on Sunday and Monday. So you're right on time.
You know, once I left, like the week I left Toronto, they started playing better, and I was like, maybe I'm the problem. And now I'm a week away from coming home, and I'm still wondering if I am the problem.
A lot of things have changed. A lot of things have stayed the same. For example, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. has hit zero home runs in the time.
He has not hit a... I don't think he's hit a single home run since I left the city.
He has not. Nor is he threatened to hit home runs. Unless
no, not even close.
Unless you can hit a home run by hitting a ground ball to the second baseman.
The exit velocity right into the ground, though.
I can't believe we're back here already. It makes me so mad. It's a vent session. I feel like venting to this week. I'm not going to lie to you.
I'm sure not going to stop you.
We did I think we were pretty measured in the past. And then
I'm fully off being measured and rational here. We're past, you know, it's almost July. We are past the, they could pick it up kind of thing. We're into full meltdown mode, I think.
That being said, they could pick it up. They could pick it up. I mean, technically. But all we have is what's happening right now. We can play the maybe they won't lose a single game in September sort of thing. But as we speak, they are four games over 500, 39 and 35. And just tear your hair out, annoying, the last little bit. They haven't been good in June. I think they started the month by winning 6 of 7, I think it was, something like that. They won 3 of 4 against Houston. And then, they beat the Mets. They beat 3 against the Mets to start the series, to start the month, 3 of 4 against Houston. And then series losses to the Twins, to the Orioles, to the Rangers, and then an 11-0 loss on Monday to the Marlins. The whole thing where it's like, yeah, they're playing well. I mean, they're playing poorly, but they're still winning just enough games. That's over. They're half a game up on Red Sox from the bottom of the division right now, 39-35, as we said. It's a bad scene.
Which silly standing stat that'll make you angry do you want to start with? Because I have 3 for you.
Oh boy, hit me with the middle one. What's the middle anger?
One is that they're only a game back of a wild card spot.
Yeah.
Which feels impossible the way everything has gone.
So I think this is the crux. I think this is the crux of where the divide is coming between the fan bases.
Yes.
Because it's reasonable. You can say, oh, they're a game back of the second wild card. And that's reasonable. And that's correct. It's not wrong to say. But also, like, I don't think it's wrong to be sitting here in, what is this, year 4 or 5? Year 4 of the Vladdy and Bo experiment and the core, and be like, I didn't want them to be a game out of the last wild, like, you know what I mean? Like, they're supposed to be contending for the division. They should be, are the Rays really that much better? Are the Orioles really that much better that we have to do this every single year? That every single year we have to do the, like, well, they're scraping in, and yes, the team that wins the World Series, it's rarely justified. The bad teams, 87 win teams win the World Series all the time, and the Jays could be this year's Phillies that is a total fraud team that gets in for no reason, and then when they're there, play really well. I don't think it's wrong, and I don't think it makes you a bad fan. I don't think it's wrong of you to, like, I don't want to do that. I don't want them to dick around for a whole month at a time and be such a bad team. They've been a bad team since the beginning of May. They've been like a bottom five offense since the beginning of May. I don't think it's wrong.
I'm going to go one step further than you, because I agree with you. I don't think it's wrong. I'm going to go one step further. As we caveating this statement with as we sit here right now in this moment, with the knowledge of everything you said, they could have a good September, blah, 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 blah. They could be the Phillies. You know, all that is true. But as you point out, this is now year 4, 5 of the Vladdy core. This is now year 7 of Shapiro Atkins. This team in preseason this year was picked by many mainstream outlets as World Series favorites. And they are currently, what is it, 4 games above .500?
Yeah.
4 games above .500, fighting for the third wild card spot. With all of that in mind, as we sit, again, as we sit here today, I don't think it's a stretch to say that the Vladdy core, the Atkins front office, which, however you want to phrase it, is a failure.
That's strong. I mean, it's certainly trending that way because, like,
if you're measuring it by progress, it's, you know, you want it to be a increasing diagonal line. And it is sort of just like mostly flat and some drops. And, you know, I'm not here to relitigate the Anthopoulos stuff or even any of the Atkins Shapiro stuff on the field. But, you know, it's year 7. JP Ricciardi got 9, I want to say. 8. And, like, obviously didn't make the playoffs, but if your measuring stick is 2 games in a wild card series and 2 games as the 8 seed in the fake season, that, to me, is basically the equivalent of Ricciardi not making the playoffs before the wild card was expanded.
Yeah. I mean, there's 2 ways to frame their game back at the playoffs, right? You say, oh, their game back at the playoffs, puncher's chance. You could also say that they're the 7th best team in the American League, and they're on an 84 win pace. And if you're okay with 84, 85 wins and being 7th best, then yeah, nothing to complain about, I guess. Steady as
you go. But to your point, you shouldn't be, frankly. That's not the goal of this team. That was the goal of this team 3 years ago. That was where we set, before the 2021 season, after the fake season, and after we sat here being like, oh, if they can win 80 plus games and fight for a spot, that's a great step forward. That's not where they're supposed to be right now. I'm sorry. Like, if you want to say they're the 7th best team and the only teams better than them are the entire division and Texas and Houston, then, and so it's fine. Like, everyone's entitled to view sports how they want, but also, like, that's wrong. Like, this team is not supposed to be fighting for their lives, not scoring. The other standing, the worst standing stat to make you go crazy is, you know, we have made the maybe they'll have a crazy September argument so many times in our lives in the last decade as Blue Jays fans. And the underlying numbers supported that that was a possibility. The Jays' run differential is currently 4.
Yeah.
And that is also, yes, sort of deflated by games like last night, but also inflated by a couple of games where they just scored a ton of runs and then never again.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you look at if you want to make they're the 7th best team argument, sure. They are the 9th best team in run differential, including being 24 runs behind the Minnesota Twins, who are leading the Central Division but are below .500. They are 20 runs behind the Boston Red Sox, who are last in the division. They are 7 runs behind the Seattle Mariners, who are .500. So if you want to make the argument that, oh, they're a game back and they're 7th, yes, that is literally true. But they're sure not playing like a team that deserves to be taken seriously.
It's a lot. And listen, we hammered on the depth. We hammered on the depth week in and week out. We talk about the depth. You knew the thing about a baseball season being 162 games is every single one of your weaknesses will come into focus. And we're smack dab in it. It's Spencer Horwitz. It's Ernie Clement. It's they have a bullpen day now. basically twice, because like Kikuchi's been fine for number five, but you're hoping to get five innings out of him, and then you have at least four or five pitching changes, best case scenario, on the Richards Bowden Francis day, and that also takes those two guys out of your bullpen. So now you're also short a bullpen arm, and we've seen they just haven't been in any games where the bullpen is sort of able to relax. Every game for the bullpen is one run or two runs, or they're trying to keep a game from getting out of reach. And as good as they do pitch, pitchers give up runs eventually, and it ends up feeling a lot worse than it actually is. And the bullpen that we gave them some credit for sort of fixing, is sort of now half broken, right? You've lost the Anthony Bass roster space. Good riddance, rest and piss. You've given that to Mitch White, who is a mop-up guy, right? Total mop-up guy. Yeah, bad. Richards has moved out of the bullpen. He was a reliable bullpen guy. He's now an opener. So now you're minus two of your eight. Bowden Francis is the second half of a bulk roll. So now you're out three bullpen spots now. Now you're down to five. Simber hasn't been very good. Now you're down to four. Like, very quickly, very, 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 very quickly, that bullpen goes from like, yeah, they did a pretty good job, that's pretty reinforced, to like, well, I don't trust Garcia, and I don't trust Simber, and you can't really use Pearson on back-to-back days, we've sort of seen. Like, maybe you sneak by, but he's not as good in back-to-back days. Now you're down to Swanson and Romano, who you can't use every single game. And it happens quick, but that's what happens. And it's the same thing. It's because you don't have a sixth starter, right? You've lost Richards out of the bullpen because you have no sixth starter. It's the same thing with, I don't think that Springer is maybe at full health right now. I don't know if Kiermaier's wrist is at full health right now. I don't know if Vladdy is hurt or just can't hit the ball anymore. But you don't have guys that can come into these spots. And it's costing them now, because we mentioned in parts of May and in April, I remember sitting here in April and being like, well, they're not playing that well, but they're racking up the wins and they're getting it done and they're staying in the fight and that's good enough. Well, now they're not playing that well and they're not winning. And that's when it starts to get in trouble. It's been so hard to watch. It really has just been so hard to watch, especially, I mean, we have to do this. We have to do this because We did this for Bo Bichette last year, and we aired it out. We said we're going to air it all out. We're going to get all of it out of our chest. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is just unwatchable right now. Just he's been the worst hitter on the team since the beginning of May. But he's 10th on the team in wins above replacement per Fangraphs. I think 150th in isolated power this year. He's got less home runs than Michael A. Taylor. He has less home runs than Danny Jansen, who was hurt for a huge portion. The ground balls are back. He's hitting them hard, but he's hitting them into the ground. The double play machine. It's really hard to watch this guy. And again, it's not all on him, but it does align pretty strongly with his swoon and his great games. It's brutal, man. How are you even? I don't even know. I'm at a loss here for watching Vlad right now.
Yeah, and I think Vlad, again, it's not, like you said, it's not all on him, but I do think it's emblematic of sort of the issues. And I think nothing really, you know, you want to talk about the bullpen depth, which is true, and like we've talked about it at length, and there's no point of relitigating that, and the offensive depth, and the depth in general. But, you know, the biggest problem, I think, is the Blue Jays have played 74 games so far this season, which means they are seven games away from the halfway point. They have scored five or more runs in 12 games.
Yikes.
Like, I don't care. I'm sure there's some stat that can correct this about, you know, which teams have scored the least amount of runs and still had success. But with the bullpen constructed the way it is, with the rotation sort of, you know, Berríos has been great. Gausman's been amazing. Bassett has his moments. Kikuchi has his moments. But unless your pitching is like lights out every night, top to bottom, you're just, you know, you're not going to succeed scoring that few runs. And like, again, if you want to talk about the they're the seventh best in the American League thing. You know, that's true, but they've also, they're 10th in runs scored in the American League. There are five teams in the American League with negative run differentials. And that would be Cleveland, Detroit, Chicago, Kansas City, and Oakland. None of which are teams you want to be emulating.
Mm-hmm.
And the Jays are plus +4. And tanking. Every other
team...
They're
all tanking teams.
Yeah. Every other team in the American League is at least plus +10. Other than Texas and Tampa Bay, no one is like crazy run differential. But the fact is the Jays are a lot closer to those five tanking teams than they are to the other teams that are supposed to be competing. And you can quibble whether that's Boston, but regardless, Boston's numbers are better than the Jays.
And they're right behind.
They're right, exactly. So I don't see how you can call the season so far anything but a failure. And it's getting close to like a catastrophic failure, if we're being honest. To go from World Series favorites to like, hey, they're better than Detroit. Like, it's not good, and it's getting worse is the other thing. And you know, I know this is a question in the mailbag, and I'm glad it is because I wanted to talk about it anyway, but like, the deadline's a month away.
Yeah.
We're not in the, you look at the window, such as it is, we are not close to the should they blow it up discussion. Just because, like, if not, what's the, like, are they planning to do the sort of early 2000s Maple Leafs thing of just like be average and sneak into the playoffs and see what happens?
I mean, that's got to be the way in. That's got to be the way in. That's sort of the only, that they sort of painted themselves into that kind of being the only way. I don't know how else.
They don't really have
the load up option.
I guess to my point, if that is the only way and that is the plan, then that's a failure. Straight up.
It's tough. They
were odds on World Series favorites 4 months ago. To go from that to let's just try and sneak in, that's a failure. And it means the process plan for this year, which, we've talked about a lot, and the let's get rid of the fun and let's get serious and let's get fun, it means it didn't work and they fucked it up.
Yeah. I mean, as we approach the deadline, we'll get into it a little closer. But yeah, you'd like to add maybe a power hitting outfielder, but I don't. They don't really have the three big trade chips they had are all gone. Right? You had your top prospect in Moreno, and you had Gurriel as sort of an everyday player you could dangle, and Teoscar as an expiring guy. They don't really have a ton of depth to even trade from. The it's not a highly sought after minor league system, aside from Tiedemann, who even knows, and Arelvis, who is a very strange sort of prospect. There's not a lot of guys that have a lot of league wide buzz that you're seeing, or like the guys that are there are sort of brand new pieces to the system. Berea or Tucker Thomann, like guys that are brand new, were drafted last year. If you want to keep doing that, it's a really tough spot. They could maybe marginally improve, but there is no. Like, I don't expect them to be in on the biggest guys. And maybe, I think it's going to be like last year, a little bit of bullpen help and maybe a Whit Merrifield, like a guy they can get for basically nothing that fills a couple positions at once. I don't see, and I could be wrong, I don't see a big splash like even being doable. I don't even know who they could trade for that. Not that I think they'll strip it down, but I do think it's a matter of getting into the playoffs and then believing anything that happens there, right? Bo and Vlad are both red hot, and the pitching is good enough to get you through is sort of the plan. And I don't want to call it the plan, but I do think at this point, when you look at it, they're saying, let's get to 88, 89 wins and get in, because they're not going to win the division. That's fucking done. They're 11 games back of the Rays, and they're fourth. They have too many teams to pass and too long, and those teams are playing too many of the other similar teams. I don't see that happening. Just sneaking in is the only thing. I don't know how else they can.
I agree. obviously at this point, that is the
only way,
only thing. And that's a fucking failure. That's, if that's your plan in year three of the competitive window, let's call it.
And sure.
Year, I'm not going to say it's been since they took over. So like year five, year four of building the competitive window. If you're reaching the end of said window and your plan is win 88 games and see, you fucked it up. Like, your plan was shitty then, leading up to this, because this year doesn't exist in a vacuum.
Yeah.
It's not like the issues they have. Some of them just happened, sure. Like, no one could have seen Manoa coming. No one could have expected Vlad to be this bad. Like, I think that's fair to...
It is, totally.
To be like, that, like, there's nothing they could have done about that. But the depth they could have done something about, the way moves were made, to your point, that to fix these major holes in the deadline, now they're really in a tough spot to even attempt to do so. That's a failure. And, you know, I want to stress that I do not think that all of this is like a John Schneider issue, but some of it certainly is, and that hire maybe needs to be looked at in hindsight. And again, in hindsight, we were both fine with it when it happened, but like, they're bad. You know, a very timely tweet from Blake here: the Jays have not scored in 18 innings.
Yeah, crazy.
The Jays are currently playing the Miami Marlins.
The 41 and 20 something Miami Marlins.
Sure. But, like, I think this team needs to be, and, like, they are being. I'm not saying, like, they're getting a pass or anything. But I think we need to remember that, like, this isn't the young upstart rebuilding Jays anymore.
Mm-hmm.
This is supposed to be a World Series team. And they are failing from top to bottom. Except for, like, Kevin Gausman, who's awesome.
I think a lot of important things you touched on there, and there is, you know, the most important pitcher and the most important hitter are coming into the year, you could say, are not doing what they're supposed to do. Both of them, about as bad as it could get for both of them. That's a point worth making. But you mentioned the processes, and I think you mentioned it in terms of Schneider, which I agree with. And I remember going through this when they fired Charlie. And there was sort of this collective shrug from everybody that covers the team and writes about the team that was like, well, you know, Charlie was always just supposed to be a guy that executes the plan for the front office. And he wasn't, and, you know, he was very clearly not the first choice. And all these sort of little disqualifiers. And it sort of, for me, it was like, what does that say about the process of hiring him then? Mm-hmm. If their goal was like, let's get a yes man that just does whatever we want. I feel not similarly, but I think if you gave Ross Atkins or Mark Spiro, I think if you gave him a truth serum and was like, would you like to redo the coaching search, the managerial search? They would say yes. They had some great success with Schneider at the end of last year, heading into the playoffs not included. And his record, I think, rates out to being like a 92 win season. So big picture, maybe it's fine. But at this stage, we're back to like where they are in the process at this stage, when it's like, this needs to be, for all intents and purposes to me, this needs to be the championship window year. Because there's no free agents that are
100%
worth coming up. The development isn't as such that anybody is breaking down the walls for these guys. They had the window wide open with Semien, and they had Robbie Ray. They were able to extend that last year. They got a good start from Matt Chapman. They've had all these things. Everything is built for the team this year. Most of the pitchers are in their 30s. Most of the guys that they went out and got to put around Bo and Vlad are guys like George Springer in his 30s, guys like Kevin Kiermaier in his 30s, guys like Matt Chapman approaching 30, all the supplemental pieces, Brandon Belt, meaning his mid-30s, all the pieces that are here to help this core are win now guys. So to be like, we're going to have a manager learn on the job, just seems really short-sighted to me. It just seems like, I think they would have liked to redo that. I think they would have liked to And not even that I think he's wrong. It doesn't jive with the way the rest of the team is built. And now we get into this in the mailbag. They seem to have lost what made this team what this team is. And I don't know what the recipe is for getting it back, because right now it is just a disaster.
Yeah, I think you have to kind of. I think you have to ask the question of, is it worth cleaning house and starting again? Tough. Because they're painted in, as we've said, they're painted into a corner. And, you know, I certainly don't have the answers. You don't have the answers. I'm not sure they have the answers, which is also an issue. And you kind of look at it and you go, all right, they had two window years. And then this one sort of didn't happen. Maybe it's time to sort of clean house. You have, you know, Kevin Gausman's not a young man, but he is an ace you can carry for the next 3 years. And you sort of take a step. I'm not saying you jettison out all the young guys, but, you know, you can. Bo Bichette has proven that he's very good. I will happily admit that. I don't think it's worth giving up on Vlad. But I think maybe it's, and, you know, then you also start to ask the question of, well, can you keep those two guys if you're going to rebuild? But yeah, they're in a real tough spot. And I just think you can't look at the tough spot they're in and not sort of look to you got to look to the front office. I know they can't fire themselves and they're not going to, and that's fine. I'm not even saying they necessarily should be fired, although maybe I am. But I feel like you can't look at what's happened and the path to get here as we sit here today. I will keep doing that caveat out of dumb hope, maybe. But I just don't see how you can sit here and be like, yeah, those guys should still be in charge.
You've seen calls as well on the timeline to replace the hitting coach, which I have no idea what that
even means. I have no clue.
Sure, replace the hitting coach. if you deep down in your heart believe that changing the hitting coach will do anything, by all means, tweet that out. I don't.
Yeah.
I hate to be like a dismissive dude, but like, never in my life have I had the slightest clue about changing the hitting coach being something that will change the fortunes of a team. But maybe this is the time. Maybe I'm wrong. Who's to say? But yeah, I mean, that's a lot. There's a lot in there. Belt is hurt. Spencer Horwitz is up. Nice to see Spencer Horwitz get a chance. Rios looks good again. Yeah.
Yeah. So Chris Bassett looks bad again.
Yep. Bassett looks bad again. Tough. He's had issues with hard contact and it hasn't gone well. So it goes. We'll take a quick break. We'll chat on the other side just about stuff. Jake's got his show wrapping up in Morrisburg, Morristown,
Morrisburg.
The Burg. Morrisburg. And all that and more, plus the mailbag, other side.
Baseball, get out of here. It's time to get off topic. Baseball, get out of here. It's time to get off topic.
Okay, Jake, it is time once again to open the mailbag. At Less Than Jays on Twitter is where you get your questions in and or on to the email address, which I will open because people were mean to us for a little bit, so I stopped reading them. You know how it is.
Yeah, but all the people that are mean to us can go fuck themselves because it was because of they're against gay rights, so fuck them.
Yeah, absolutely. Eat all the shit in the world. There's one message in there. So the message in there from Christine Baldwin, mailbag question. Ignoring the continuation of the game and injury woes, which Blue Jays regular do you think would make the most effective position player to come in and pitch?
Ooh.
I'm going to give it... Yeah, go ahead.
I'm just going to assume Springer can do it.
Sure.
He'd hurt himself immediately, but... I feel like he could do it and then blow out his arm and get Tommy John.
Yeah. I'm with you in terms of I feel like it's one of the outfielders. I don't think it's almost always like a utility infielder who pitches, but I feel like it's either Kiermaier, who just strikes me as the kind of guy who's good at everything he's ever done in his entire life, right? He would like either pitch before, then stand up there and throw 90, and you'd be like, great, thanks, man, fucking guy. Or Dalton Varsho seems to be able to do just about everything on a baseball field. So
except hit for contact.
Except hit for contact, but he's got more home runs than Vladimir Guerrero Jr., so what do you want? What do you really want out of life? So I'm gonna say probably Kiermaier because why wouldn't he be able to do it?
I think that's a good answer.
Move into the mailbag at Less Than Jays on Twitter. The first one comes from Blake Murphy of Jays Talk Plus. I mean, a farce that a man this much smarter than us would ask us Blue Jays questions. But regardless, which of the good AA pitchers who aren't anywhere near MLB ready should we convince ourselves that MLB ready? Here we are. Feels like Hag and Danner could step in. Adam Klopfenstein?
Been hearing Hagendanner's name for long enough now that I think it would have to be him. I feel like I need a new TJ Zoik in my life.
Is Ricky T still hurt? Jesus Christ.
I think so, yeah. Yeah, he's on the 7-day now, it looks like. I don't know how long that's been the case.
But Sam Robert's
that's good. You know what? I'm going to stick with my preseason pick as my guy from AA, and that's Adrian Hernandez.
Nice. Oh, man. That's the guy who threw really hard and couldn't control it at all? And then
that
got
is
cut.
Absolutely correct.
7.64 ERA at AA? That'll do.
My guy. 20 Ks, though. 20 Ks in 17 innings. So
there you go.
Ignore the 15 earned runs in 17 innings.
Nick Fraze is 6'3". That's something.
That's good.
Jimmy Burnett. I'm gonna go with Hang and Danner. He's a real dirtbag.
What about I'm gonna go with 6'9" Fitz Stadler.
Damn.
That is a tall man with a great name who is not very good.
Glenview, Illinois.
9 strikeouts in 9 innings.
Yeah, 2.79 in 9 appearances. Okay. You could do worse.
Came up from Dunedin already this year. Yeah,
Helium.
6'9 Fitz Stadler.
Fitz Stadler, that'll do. If the shoe fits, then he is the pick. 6'9". I mean, the fastball gets on you, they would say about that.
6'9", 230. Let's go.
Beefy. Let's get it. Big, tall. Oh, that's 230 at that size. It's not that beefy. No. Very thin, actually, is what that is.
Trent Palmer is the same size at 6'1", so.
I may be. It's possible that I weigh more than 230 pounds, if you could believe that.
You're tall.
Yeah, that's right. It's exactly what Fritz Stadler's family is telling me. Cassie wants to know what she should make for dinner. When in doubt, I make a hamburger usually.
I feel like this is probably for tomorrow, as it's now 8:22 p.m.
Yeah, I mean, she sent it at 11 a.m. this morning, but...
Yeah, Cassie, I'm going to say that you should make... For dinner, you should make yourself a big salad.
Oh, big salad.
I know she loves a big salad.
Yeah. Nothing wrong with a big salad. James Gleason. Here's an esoteric one. Is the current Jays trend related to our failing municipal leadership system?
No.
Short and sweet. I mean, didn't they have their best years under Rob Ford? Isn't that what we're...
No, it would have been their best years under first term John Torrey would have been 2015, 2016.
I have my what year things happened completely fucked up.
But if we want to get political about it, the last time they had a good playoff run, or the only time that a good playoff run, was the year that Justin Trudeau defeated Stephen Harper, so...
So there you go.
I don't know what that means, but it might mean something.
Here we go. Jays Retro. What percentage of vibes increase would they see immediately if they replaced John Schneider with John Gibbons? Not going to let go of Gibbons just yet.
Vibe, you know what? Do it. Vibes would increase. They need some good PR. Not that... Please don't let Gibby post if you're going to do that. but I think there'd be like a good like 23% vibe increase.
Paul Adam, could a Nikola Jokic figure, who is clearly the best in the world at his sport, but also low-key disdains his job, ever exist in Major League Baseball? Absolutely, I think.
Isn't that like most of the good players in baseball?
I feel like Zach Greinke probably fits that mold a little bit.
Yeah, I also feel like Mike Trout fits that mold, weirdly.
Zach Greinke is like, fucking curse this unnatural ability I have to throw strikes whenever I want to. God damn it.
Mike Trout always looks pretty bored with whatever he's doing. And it's just like, I'm just the best at this. And that's fine. That could just be because he's been languishing in Anaheim for so long, but...
I will say it is a little harder in baseball because, you know, in basketball, if you're 7 feet tall, it's sort of like you don't even really have to love it to dominate it. You there's no like accidentally being great at baseball. So it's pretty hard to be great at.
Yeah, that's very true.
Mike Mack, I received this survey question after attending my last game. Do you think it was written by Mark Shapiro himself? Which of the following describes your purpose of your visit to Rogers Center? Jesus Christ. The first answer is connecting to my city, community, or identity for the Blue Jays, sharing traditions and making memories for those I'm with, joining other fans in my passion for my team or for baseball, getting out of the house and escaping me every day, making someone with me feel valued and special.
I love that starts with like base leagues. Then it's like, oh, you hate your family. It's like, oh, someone you know is sad.
What in the world? What a strange organization, man. Holy cow.
Do you go to baseball games to escape the curse that is your wife and child?
It's certainly not because you like the Blue Jays. That wouldn't be.
Not even one of those has any idea about any connection to liking the team. That's pretty fantastic.
That's wild.
I think there's a good chance this was written by Shapiro or Atkins because it clearly has no idea what human beings are like.
I don't know if he wrote it, but I'm willing to bet it passed his desk.
Yeah, and he was like, this is great.
Crappy, but maybe he copy edited it. He's in the deck and he was like, a couple edits here and there.
Here's the thing I think I'm realizing about Mark Shapiro and Ross Atkins is that I'm pretty confident they're the kind of guys who would be like, if they weren't like rich front office guys, I'm pretty sure they'd be those guys in Elon Musk's mentions defending him.
I thought you were going to say missing in the sub at the bottom of the ocean.
Well, I mean, it's kind of 6-1, isn't it?
Okay, Ty Berry brings us back with, I think, something we sort of touched on, and then I was sort of saving our beer conversation for this question. Mm-hmm. Ty Berry, always a great follow. Been a big fan of Ty for a while. The Blue Jays kind of loudly traded several of their quote-unquote fun players for a bunch of red-ass dudes, then threw out the home run jacket and touted a new identity based around, loosely, fundamentals, quote-unquote. It's now late June, they're in fourth place, and the manager just keeps saying, tighten up. Oops, I don't know if there's a question here.
Yes is the answer.
This is sort of like the reason that people are suggesting that John Schneider should be in trouble is because we're sort of being fed both of these things at once, right? You're being fed the, like, they're a cleaned up team. It's all about playing better baseball. And then they don't, and they also, like, now they're the only team that doesn't have a fun home run thing, and they're certainly not a joyful to watch them. That's for damn sure. I don't know if you lay this at the feet of John Schneider exactly, but
I do not lay this at the feet of John Schneider. I lay this at 100% at the feet of the front office.
It's tough. It's tough, man. It sucks.
Oh, there you go. The Jays scored a run thanks to Ernie Clement.
Hey, now.
I'm going to put on my Damian Cox hat for a minute.
Oh, no.
Which is, coincidentally, in the shape of a giant penis. But I'm going to have to ask the question, so to speak. Baseless speculation, of course. But I would be willing to hear an argument that Vlad's struggles are related to not having any fun.
Yeah. And maybe Bo being great. Bo can finally be left alone to just be great at baseball. I mean, listen, it's armchair psychology, but I do follow you down the track of, like, I remember in 2021 and 2022 sort of making the point of, like, the team plays at its best when they are playing with joy and they abandon the fear of making mistakes. That was very clear that, like, with all the Teoscar warts, if you let him make up for it at the bat, he would do it with great joy. And I felt like that was part of the team's identity, and I don't feel like it's part of the identity anymore. And these guys just mope around and play shitty baseball at the same time.
I think you hit the nail on the head there with that word being identity, and that this team doesn't have one. Whereas, when they were the joyful guys the last couple of years, a lot of frustrations came with that. No question. I'm not going to sit here and be like, the outfield defense wasn't a total fucking nightmare. And a lot of the curtain calls in the fourth inning and the, you know, sitting around after getting eliminated in the dressing room and, you know, chuckling kind of thing. And I'm not going to say I don't dislike all of those things. However, the team had an identity and the team had seemed to have some sort of connection with each other and with the fans and with the city. And now they're just kind of a collection of guys who aren't playing well. Yeah. And there isn't an identity one way or the other. If you want to build this, like, strict fundamentals team and abandon the fun stuff, that's, you know, I don't love it, but I get it if it works. And, like, that becomes your identity. But, like, it's both not working and there's no identity. So, like, bring back the fun, at least. At least they were a joy to watch, even when they were frustrating the last couple of years.
Yeah. Yeah. Rusty and Dusty says, do you think a rational and calm Blue Jays fan should be calling for the hitting coach or manager to be fired? I'm on the fence. Sincerely, one rational but calm but frustrated Blue Jays fan. Again, if calling for the Gamer Martinez to get fired makes you happy, then I say go for it. I have a severe doubt that Guillermo Martinez is like, Vlad, don't hit home runs anymore. Now, is it part of his job to figure out what's going on and solve that problem? Probably. But he was also on board for the other years. So whether he's being tuned out or doesn't have the skills, I don't know. But something is certainly wrong because nobody is hitting for power at all. So, yeah, I mean, if it makes you feel good, this is part of what it's all about. Like, part of sports is not, you don't have to be the rational, calm one. You can come on here and say that they should fire all these guys. It's as reasonable to do as the opposite. So don't feel bad if you want to spend your afternoon saying that Guillermo Martinez should lose his job. In the same token, if you're like, you know, Schneider does things that annoy me, or Schneider's tone of this team really annoys me and I think they're going to lose, you can do that too. I'm just in the mode, I think you are too, Jake. If this is on the front office, the team, they have the team that they have. I don't know what you want Schneider to do. That there's not enough bullpen guys, there's not enough starters. He's playing Ernie Clement, he's playing Spencer Horwitz. They don't have the horses. They haven't been given the players to play the way they want.
Yeah, I think, you know, gun to my head, at most rational, which I know is a complicated sentence. If you're going to ask me if I think John Schneider is the kind of manager you want if you're trying to win the World Series, I'd probably say no. However, I don't really put a ton of what's going on him. I think there's some, like, he makes some real baffling in-game decisions sometimes. Don't get me wrong. But I think you can say that for any manager. And we have. And I think it is calm and rational to call for Schneider to be fired because it's kind of the only move available. And because, as you said, like, there's not a lot of trade chips. I don't know what the front office can do to fix the roster. And I don't know what Schneider could do to fix the roster. But when a team struggles like this, the manager is always the first to go. Then you are, yes, looking at the look of, oh, we've fired two managers mid-season 2 years in a row, which, again, goes back to the front office, because they didn't hire themselves. But no, I don't think there's anything wrong with wanting to call for Schneider to get fired. And while I don't think there's anything wrong with wanting to call for Guillermo Martinez to get fired, I certainly don't know enough about what a hitting coach does to make that call.
To Love a Mariner Pod says, what do you make of the infield playing in with the bases loaded and one out, down 7-0 in the seventh of Monday's game? Probably the worst part of the 2023 Blue Jays is they've turned me into a blame the manager kind of guy. Yeah, I mean,
yeah, it's fair. Again, these are all as in-game stuff. There's a lot of stuff Schneider does that you're just kind of like, what? Like on the weekend, the pinch hitting Varsho for Kirk when Varsho was 3-for-3 and then being like, oh, but we got Santiago Espinal coming in for Biggio as the last batter of the game. Like, brutal. It's pinch hitting for Varsho a lot, who, like, I know is not my favorite guy. I don't think he's great, but you also, traded for him, so maybe stop that.
Yeah, what are we doing here? Unusual delivery. Does it seem like the entire team is sitting on sliders as a hitting philosophy? Hitting the ball the other way seems to be the philosophy this year.
No one should be hitting on this team should be hitting the ball the other way except for Bo Bichette, is my opinion.
Yeah, and is he ever? Holy moly.
It's not a coincidence that the second best hitter on the team is Danny Jansen, and all he does is just pull the shit out of the ball.
Yeah. No kidding. Andrew Robertson, if we are adjusting our Vladdy career expectations going forward, does downgrading it from Miguel Cabrera to Freddie Freeman ease the pain in the home run decrease this season? I think we're downgrading it from Miguel Cabrera to current day Miguel Cabrera right now.
To answer the question, if you're downgrading it to Freddie Freeman, you know what? Yes, that does make me feel better. And that is better. But unfortunately, I think the reality is closer to what you're saying. And that makes me feel significantly worse.
I mean, when Freddie Freeman leads the league, I mean, listen, he's had his down years. He's had years where he hit 250, but Freddie Freeman was a 300 hitter for a really long time, basically since 2016. And I know that batting average is far beyond where we are, but the guy is like an otherworldly great hitter. You'd be happy with Freddie Freeman, obviously. But Vlad is currently not hitting like no goddamn Freddie Freeman. That's for damn sure.
You know what I'm excited for, though?
What's that?
Because it's a fan vote, like five of these fucking losers being all-stars.
People are mad about that, and I think you might be among them.
I'm not mad. I'm going to be honest. I'm not mad about it because I truly do not care about who is an all-star or not.
Right.
Not a thing that I will ever care about, but it is going to be funny when a bunch of them are.
Vlad making it is legitimately funny. No question.
Yeah.
Mark Quill, could you run the Jays better on MLB The Show than real life team? Of course.
Come Absolutely.
On. MLB The Show is, if you can't make a good team in MLB The Show, I worry about your ability to like manipulate.
Think.
It's like one of the easiest games to rebuild a team in, I will say. Somebody who's played a lot of sports video games. It's pretty easy to make a good team in MLB The Show. Trade your C prospects for B, trade a bunch of Bs for an A, trade an A's for a star player, you're done. Over and over again. Yeah, I could definitely do it on the show, no question. Okay, Mike Morris, how do I stop thinking about 2021? Yeah, man, the worse this team plays, the more 2021 is like, how did that fucking happen?
Yeah, look, if you had told me that 2 years later I'd be thinking about a Josh Palacios error, I'd be like, nah, I hope not, but here we are.
In any other timeline, we would never think about Rafael Dolis. We would never think about Tyler. Like, we would never think about any of these guys. And yet, Tanner Roark, Tyler Chatwood, Rafael Dolis. There's a whole bunch of these guys that just like, because they existed for a month in 2021, completely fucking haunt our lives.
I'm just going to say, once again, maybe we shouldn't have been surprised at how some of this team is constructed.
Tough. James Nielsen. John D. McD says, I bet last year at the deadline, the Angels would have taken Bo and Gabby for Ohtani. Not sure how to form this into a question. Would be great. I would say, like, who would be playing shortstop right now if that was the case?
Ernie Clement.
Yeah, Clement Espinal.
Well, they obviously would have gone out and signed like Trey Turner, who's also
true. Turner or Seager, Corey Seager. Well, maybe you bring back. Maybe you say, "Listen, Marcus Semien, you can stay." Maybe they would, but you're giving away the guy that is currently your best player all year long this year.
Don't be wrong. Trade literally anybody for Ohtani, but I think
certainly.
But it's a valid question.
Certainly. I just there aren't that many shortstops as good as Bo Bichette on earth. Okay, we got two more, and I left them for a reason. James Nielsen, the team is the fifth oldest team in the league. And this is close to what you mentioned at the end of the first segment. I know there's not a lot to sell, but you have to go all in right now, right? And if you're not going to go all in, then you probably need to sell, right? I agree with this, James. These are the two...
Yeah, 100%.
These are the two paths that are in front of them now. Is you look at the pitching staff, everybody is in their 30s except Manoah. And you look at the complementary pieces around Vladdy and Bo, they are all in their 30s or entering free agency. I guess the other issue is like, what are you even going to get? You're going to get a fourth outfielder? Is that what, like, most of the stuff is spoken for, right? Whether the players are right or not, you're not getting a third baseman. You're not getting a shortstop. You're not getting a first baseman. You're not getting a catcher. You're not getting a center fielder. You're not getting a right fielder. You're maybe getting another starter, a fifth starter, another bullpen guy, or a fourth outfielder. They're also like weirdly not that many positions for them to add to.
I am not going to fully form this thought right now, but I think there's a thought in there for me to think about and think about it more. But I think you can trace the beginning of the end for this team was last year's trade deadline when a very similar quandary was posed, or should have been, let's say, of go all in or don't bother. And they took the middle of the road option last year. And now here we are. And I agree with what James Nielsen is saying, but I would almost argue that it's not too late, but that question is the one that should have been posed last year.
Hmm.
And then they took the half measures option, and now they're kind of fucked. Because last year they had assets.
Yeah.
And this year they do not.
Who knows what Moreno gets you at the deadline last year.
Exactly. Totally. Exactly. So.
Yeah.
And that's that, you know, and then you're looking before the schedule change, before the rest of the division was also, like, all five teams in the division are competitive. You're adding Texas being competitive this year. You know, I kind of feel, I think we both agree that like the height of the window was 2021, which they didn't see coming, but it was. But I think that makes last year the time for the go all in or don't question. And I think they waited too long. And I think now they're out of assets and they have no real way to make a big splash, as you said, to bring in something major to really fix a big hole, energize the team, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And they ended up with, you know, Merrifield and two homophobes. So it's like, I, that part, the off-field stuff aside, you know, I think you get what you pay for.
Yeah. And finally, this one to guide us home gently. Black Home Terry, with how the Jays have been playing lately, what are several good TV series recommendations? What YouTube rabbit holes have you gone down recently? Right on. You're right on. I've been watching. I've been very diligent in my, like, I'm turning this game off this year. I haven't put myself through more than I have to. So I'll read you off the last four things that I watched. Jury Duty, which I loved Jury Duty. If you haven't heard, it's a fake documentary where every single person in the jury and in the courtroom and in the places these people go, which is like a hotel and a bar, every single person except for one guy is an actor. And it's unbelievable the stuff that they get through here. If you're looking for pure trash television, we watch The Ultimatum, Marry or Move On, where couples in their 20s give each other an ultimatum to either get married or break up, and then they swap partners, so they experience being married to a total stranger for 3 weeks, and then move in. Yeah, it's absolute lunatic stuff. And my favorite genre of reality TV stuff, dating, which is like, what's like a 23-year-old, it's like, I need to get married right away. You're just like, holy shit, guys. We watched White House Plumbers, which I fell asleep during two of the five episodes, so I would wake up and be like, what happened? And we're currently watching Shrinking, which is Jason Segel, Harrison Ford. It's about a psychiatrist.
Oh, yes, I remember that show.
It's an Apple TV original. So as with all Apple TV originals, it's just they took a bunch of celebrities and threw their names into a hat and then pulled them out. It was like, okay, that's what the show's about. It's funny, and it's quick half an hour episodes, but it's about therapist who's like his wife dies and he's sort of going through grieving, but while also dealing with patients. It's a pleasant little surprise. You know, in some ways, Jake, the patients are giving him the therapy in some ways. He's learning as much from them as they are from him. Yada yada yada, that sort of thing. Anything TV for you, Jake?
Yeah, I've been. I'm so behind on this, and I'm very aware. But I'm finally watching The Last Dance.
Oh wow!
I'd kind of forgotten about it, and I didn't watch it when it came out because, like, I don't really care about Michael Jordan, if I'm being honest.
I remember you not caring about it when we had nothing to talk about on our old show, and I was like, Jake, this is the only sports thing, and you were like, no.
And then I actually saw like a clip of it on TikTok. I saw a clip of Steve Kerr talk about hitting the shot in 95. And I was like, oh, that actually looks pretty good. So I've been watching that for the last few days and I'm really enjoying it. It's really well done. And I really, the way they're, again, everyone knows this because it came out like 2 years ago and everyone watched it. But the way they structure it and the way they sort of tell the story, I think is really interesting. I'm really enjoying that.
Yeah, good call. Very cool. Very, very good. So yeah, some lots of good TV out there. I think that's it.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, another episode in the books. I fully reserve the right to walk all of this back when they go on a 7-game winning streak, starting with the A's this weekend. We'll see. I have my doubts. Ultimately, closing the book on this episode and the vent session, to the point we've made a couple times, is like the I totally get if you're holding out for the positivity and you're saying this can all turn around with a great April or great August and September. I agree with that. I just, and it's impossible to know how the team's going to feel then as it does now. Just their margins for this team especially are so paper thin. There are so many guys that can get injured, so many guys that could be out of action. There are so many ways that this could go sideways with, they still haven't had a pitcher get injured, by the way. Like, they're down to four starters and everyone's healthy.
That's really true.
Everyone's healthy. They haven't lost anybody to the IL. There's so many ways it can go sideways, and I think what we lose in the last couple of years of the great runs and the 90-plus wins is, like, how easily those could have been 86 win seasons and how unsatisfying that would have felt the last couple of years. We sort of got to get there anyway, even as bad as they ended. We sort of got to get to, like, oh, they were a game short, and oh, last year they got in and had their hearts broken. Could just as easily have not made it both of those years. And I feel like after pulling the trick 2 years in a row, once behind the incredible season late surge by Gurriel and once behind the late season surge of Bo Bichette, I don't know if it's going to happen this year. I really don't. And I reserve the right to walk it back when it does, but it doesn't feel good right now.
It is sort of, when you phrase it that way, of what it took to sort of barely get in. Again, this is hindsight, but like you phrase it that way, it's kind of like, well, of course this is happening.
Yeah, of course it's happening. This is who they've been the whole time.
Yeah. It's not that crazy that this is happening if you think not even that hard about it.
This has been the team the whole time. Anyway, they're up 2-0 on the Marlins, so that feels pretty good. It's Marlins tomorrow at noon. That is Thursday at noon. Get away, then they come home for 3 against the Athletics on the weekend. And then it's the Giants come to town, and then the Red Sox come to town over Canada Day weekend. We will be back before then to talk about all that happened against these really bad teams that are coming up. Please just beat the A's. Holy Jesus. all that and more. Jake will be back home. It'd be exciting. And then they'd be off to Aurelia. So much to talk about. So much to do next time. We'll talk to you then. Thank you so much for being a part of Less Than Jake's.